I'm going to start by telling you a little story this morning, a story about myself and my wife, Heather. One of the things that you need to know about us, or that you will find out about us, is if you have met us, but if you talk to us for longer than 5 minutes, you'll probably hear the fact that we love this little place to the west of here, about 7 hours, this town that maybe some of you are going to this week on spring break, called Los Angeles. We love LA. It's one of our favorite places in the world. We love everything about it. We love the people. We love the city. We love the scenery, the beaches, everything. It is so, so great. We love LA. We love it so much. One of the times we were there, having made some friends, some connections, and really gotten to know some people, one of the times we were there, we were invited to come and hang out at this concert that was going to be in one of the nicest hotels in Hollywood. Like, we got to go to this concert and hang out and be here among the elite of young Hollywood, in the entertainment capital of the world. We got to go and hang out and be a part of this. So we're at this hotel for this incredible concert, and we're enjoying the music, right? I'm standing up front. I'm really close to the stage, enjoying this concert, enjoying being with our friends and everything that we're experiencing in this beautiful hotel right in the middle of Hollywood. And then I find myself in a really interesting place. See, I'm at this hotel, and I'm watching this concert, very much like this, towards the front of the stage, watching everything taking place in front of me, and then I notice that to my left is a rope, a lot like this one. There's a rope to my left, and I quickly realize what's on the other side of this rope. See, on the other side of this rope, things seem shinier. People seem funnier. The world seems like it's a better place on the other side of this rope. There's this area called the VIP section. The VIP section, right on the other side of the rope. VIP, of course, standing for very impressive pants. From the looks of the way that people were dressed. No, that's not what it means. It means very important person. I am standing, enjoying this concert, just like everybody else, the same concert, the same music that these people are hearing, but they are in a whole different world over here in the VIP section. I'm going, what do I got to do to get in there? I mean, I don't know what the people inside were thinking about me, but suddenly my clothes didn't feel as cool. I don't know. I don't know if that's what they were thinking. Like, how do I get over there? Everybody seems more beautiful over there. The world seems better over there. That's where I want to be. I try. Like, come on, can't I be cool enough to be in the VIP? I button my shirt all the way to the top. That's what I have to do, right? But still, I couldn't get in. I obviously wasn't Hollywood elite. I didn't run or fit in with that crowd. And I didn't meet the VIP standard according to the two giant bouncers that were standing there and guarding the rope. I obviously didn't live up to what it means to be a VIP according to these guys that could split me in half. I also didn't live up to the VIP standard according to the girl that was standing there with the clipboard that says you get in and you don't and your name's on the list and yours isn't. I just wasn't a VIP that day. I was on the outside, and I didn't have connections to the inside. My car wasn't nice enough. I didn't have enough money in my wallet. My things weren't as sweet. So I couldn't get in. I could have tried, but again, I told you, I probably would have been split in half, literally. These guys were huge. So I couldn't get in. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know anybody on the inside. I'm thinking, like, maybe somebody I'm with knows somebody, and maybe I could just get in, you know? Like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? No, it didn't work that way. I couldn't get in. I couldn't get past the rope. But here's my question. What if what if the rope wasn't there? What if there was somebody on the inside of the rope that was actually great enough to just get rid of it altogether and invite everybody in to the VIP area? What if everyone was a VIP? From the homeless guy sitting out on Hollywood Boulevard to the middle class American, me, standing just on the other side of the rope. What if everyone could be a VIP? If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 4. If you need a Bible, we'll give you one. Raise your hand. There's no shame. We want you to have a Bible. We want you to follow along, see what's happening this morning. I could say all sorts of things, and you'd have no idea if you're not reading along. I wouldn't do that, but I could. If you don't own a Bible, keep the one that we're about to give to you. I mean that. Keep it. It's our gift to you. John chapter 4 is where we're going to be this morning. John chapter 4. If this is your first time with us, I want to catch you up on what we've been talking about in here. Since the beginning of the year, we've been going through this book of the Bible called John. John being a book written by a man named John. And this guy, John, happened to be one of the best friends of Jesus. One of the best friends. He knew him. He walked with him. He talked with him. He lived beside him. He knew what Jesus was like and how he lived his life. And then he wrote us a story about it. He writes us a book that tells us who Jesus is, what he was like, and what he was all about. And we've been going through that. Last week, this week, and next week, we started this mini-series called The Way We Live, continuing through the book of John. But we're in week two of The Way We Live. We're trying to understand and learn together how we're supposed to live in light of everything that we've learned so far in our journey through this book. Today, we find ourselves in John chapter 4. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read quite a bit to you. And I want you to read along if you have a Bible. But here's what I want you to do. As I read this, I want you to put yourself in this story. Jesus is having a conversation with someone. I want you to imagine the looks on their faces. I want you to imagine the smells in the air. I want you to imagine the dust as people are walking. Put yourself in this story. Imagine what it's like. Imagine the emotions and the thoughts as this conversation occurs. John chapter 4. I'm going to start by reading right up in verse 1. It says this. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Okay, you have your setting now. You have your place, you have your time. Imagine this. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water, the water from the well, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I could see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Catch this. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. All right, so let me explain what's happening in this story that we're going through, the story that we just read. Here's what you have to understand. Jesus is leaving the John the Baptist experience that we talked about last week. Jesus was at a river and he was baptizing people. His disciples were baptizing people. And across the river was this other guy named John the Baptist, his buddy, who was doing the same thing. So Jesus gets up and he leaves that place and he begins a journey to a new place called Galilee. He's journeying and he stops in this town called Samaria. So he's walking, walking by foot. He's traveling and journeying. And he gets tired. He gets to this town in Samaria and he just gets tired. He's exhausted. He's sweating. He's walking. He's tired. Which is interesting. You have to understand, Jesus is human just like you and me. So Jesus is walking and he gets tired. So he sits down. He finds this well. This well where people would come to draw water out. That's what they did thousands of years ago. He finds this well. It's this big public place that a lot of people would have went to very often. And he sits down because he's tired. He sits down at this well to rest. This place that would have been busy. But what you have to understand is at noon, which is the time that Jesus sat down there, it wouldn't have been a busy place. See, people didn't go to the well at noon because it was the hottest time of the day and nobody wanted to go and draw water. So Jesus sits down at noon and then this woman starts walking towards him. This woman walks towards him. See, normally women don't walk to the well alone. That's not how it works. They would at least go in pairs. They don't go alone. And no one comes to the well at noon unless they're avoiding being seen. Unless they don't want other people to see them. Unless they're hiding something. Unless they don't fit in. They don't go to the well at noon unless they're hated by the other people in town. So this woman walks up and then Jesus does the unthinkable. He looks at this woman and goes, will you give me a drink? Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus speaks to a Samaritan woman. And I understand for us now, 2,000 years later, this doesn't mean much, right? But here's what you have to understand about the Samaritans. They were a hated people. Talk about racism. Just because of the bloodlines of these people, the Jews, which is what Jesus was, could not stand them. They were half-breeds. They were rejected. They were outcast. The Jews could not stand them. They were unclean and vile people. They were nasty. And the Jews wouldn't even speak to them simply because of their race and their bloodlines. They were the unclean rejects. See, the Samaritans, they were the wannabe VIPs. And the Jews were the real VIPs. And they wanted nothing to do with these people. But that's not it. She's not only a Samaritan, but she's a woman. And 2,000 years ago, a man would not just speak to a woman like this. That wasn't normal. That wasn't okay. And she's not just any woman. I told you, she's a woman who goes to the well at noon. At noon, when nobody else would be there. This woman that Jesus speaks to has some things to hide. She's the one in town that everybody gossips about. She's got a lot of haters. She's made a ton of mistakes. She's a dirty, scandalous person who doesn't want to see anybody else and doesn't want to be seen by anybody else. And now, as we read this story, we see that the Son of God breaks all sorts of norms to reach out to and talk to this dirty, messed up person. And this is what he says to her. In verse 10, he goes, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus goes, hey, I'm not only talking to you. He actually reveals a little bit about who he is. He offers her living water. He gets really deep, really quick. He looks at this woman and goes, hey, I know some things. I know that you need more than just this water. I know that you have more need than just physical thirst. There's some holes, there's some things going on the inside that you need help with, that you need healing for, that you need fixed. He goes, I can give you everything you need. But of course, she's a human and she doesn't understand what he's saying. She looks and she just sees a normal, thirsty guy who shouldn't be talking to her. That's what she sees. See, she doesn't understand who is standing in front of her. And she doesn't even really seem to care. But here's what's incredible. Jesus doesn't walk away, even though she doubts. Jesus doesn't walk away. And instead, he continues the conversation. Verse 13, Jesus goes, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So this woman doesn't get it, but Jesus again goes, hey, I just want you to understand, I'm offering something special to you. He looks and goes, hey, I'm offering you something that will heal the deep pain and the rejection and all the nasty things that people are saying about you. I'm offering you something special. He's offering her eternal life. We've talked about this. Life that never ends. Forgiveness. A second chance. But again, she doesn't get it. See, she just wants her water and she wants to go home and go on with her day before anybody sees her, before anybody has a chance to whisper when she walks by, before anybody has a chance to point and laugh. She just wants to get her water and go home. I mean, she even looks at him and goes, hey, that's awesome. I'll take that water that you're giving me as long as I don't have to come back here. If I don't have to come back here, I'll take the water that you're giving me. Because I don't want to have to come outside anymore. I don't want to have to feel the shame and the pain and the rejection and the gossip when I walk by. If I don't have to do that anymore, I'll take what you're giving me. She doesn't understand that Jesus is offering her so, so much more. Then things get really intense. Things get really personal really quick. Jesus goes, hey, go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, I know. He's never met this woman before, ever. And he looks at her and he goes, I know. You've had 5 husbands. And the guy that you're living with right now isn't your husband. You're living with your boyfriend. I know what's going on in your life. Even though he's never met her, he's able to look at her and go, I know you have some problems. I know some things about you. He's showing her that he's somebody special. He can look and he knows her past. He knows her failures. He knows the mistakes she's making right now. And he's still talking to her. He looks at her and goes, I know what you've done. I know your mistakes. I've seen it all. So naturally, she tries to change the subject. She's starting to go, okay, she calls him a prophet. I get it. You know some things about me. I don't know how. We've never met. This is getting kind of weird. Her heart's starting to race. Her palms are getting sweaty. She's a little nervous. Who is this guy? I get that you know some things about me, dude, whoever you are. I get it, man. I get it. I know that there's some garbage. I know that there's some bad things in my life that I need to get right with God. But you don't understand. It's not that easy for me to do that. She's like, church is a long way away. If that's where I need to go to get right with God, it's hard for me to get there. And you know what? When I get there, the people there don't like me. They hate me. They reject me. They judge me when I walk by. It's too hard for me to try to fix all these things and make up for my mistakes on my own. She looks at Jesus and goes, I don't really know how to handle this. I get that you know some things about me and I don't really know who you are, but I don't know how to fix these things that you know about my life. And Jesus says this to her. Verse 21, Jesus goes, woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. She goes, I don't know how to get to God. I don't know how to fix these things on my own. Jesus goes, hey, it's okay. I'm here to change all that. He goes, hey, worshiping God, it won't be a rope in a VIP experience anymore. It's not about trying to get to something. It's not about trying to get to the other side of the rope or be like a certain type of people. You don't have to look a certain way, act a certain way, or be something special to worship God. Jesus is telling her, look, it's no longer about you going to God. It's about the fact that God has come to us. He looks at this messed up, dirty, scandalous woman, and he goes, hey, you can worship right where you are. In the middle of your messed up life, in the middle of being an outcast in your society, no matter what people are saying about you, no matter what reputation you have, you can worship, you can connect, you can experience God. Jesus knows everything about her, everything, her past, her mistakes, her failures, the fact that she has had 5 husbands, is living with her boyfriend, life is messed up, relationships are hard. She knows it all. He knows it all. Yet he still pursues her. He still talks to her. The Son of God wants to be around her. Here's what you have to understand about everything we're talking about this morning. Jesus knows everything about you. Yet he still pursues you. He knows everything about you. Yet he still pursues you. All your mistakes, all the things you've done wrong on the inside, outside, all the ugly, messed up stuff in your life, yet he still pursues you. Jesus is telling this woman, look, connecting with God, being with him, it's not about what's on the outside anymore. It's about something deeper. It's about what's on the inside. Jesus goes, it's about believing on the inside, not doing on the outside. It's about worshiping in the spirit and in truth. It's about believing that Jesus is the one who loves you in spite of your mistakes, in spite of everything you've done wrong. Believing that on the inside, in the deepest core of who you are, that that's who Jesus is. Jesus looks at this woman and goes, hey lady, if you want to worship God, do it from your heart. Open your heart. He'll do the work. He's pursuing you. He'll fill the holes. He'll heal the pain. He'll make you a VIP. He'll make you new and give you another chance. Jesus is walking up to the rope and he's going, hey, lady, the rope is gone. Come in. It's not there anymore. It's not about what you think it's about. God is giving everyone access. God is giving everyone access to his love and his forgiveness and this new life that he offers. Everyone. No matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter what people are saying about you, he's giving everyone access to his love and to his forgiveness and to his eternal life. She starts to understand. In verse 25, we see it. She starts to understand that Jesus is someone special. She's been waiting for someone to bring the hope and the help that she needs. She's been waiting for somebody just to love her and to pursue her and to maybe not say bad things about her and maybe just give her some healthy attention. That's what she's been waiting for. She's been waiting for somebody to get rid of the rope and allow her to connect with God who can heal her. Jesus is that someone. So now, 2,000 years later, as you and I sit here in 2015, what in the world does this story mean for us? I think it speaks to two groups of us today. I think there's two groups of people in here today. One of those groups are the VIPs. The ones in here that have the VIP attitude. We think that because we're Christians, that because we've experienced the grace and love of God, that we are better than everybody else. We're better than the ones outside that are making those mistakes and doing those bad things. We're better. We're greater. We're forgiven. If you're in here today and that's you, I think this story is very clear on what that means. It means this. You need to stop. I can't put it any more plainly than that. You just need to stop. Maybe you've been judging people based on what's on the outside and you've actually been making it hard for people to understand that God loves them. Stop. Maybe you've been gossiping about that girl at school. You know, that girl with that reputation who's done those things. Maybe you've been judging or saying bad things about that guy that always gets in trouble and is always doing those things and has that reputation at school. Stop. I can't put it any more clear. Stop. That's not what this is about. The rope is gone. It's no longer about us being VIPs and everybody else being messed up or unable to get in. Everyone is invited to be a VIP in God's eyes. Everyone. Every single person you see at school, Every single person you see out on the street, everyone. Stop looking at others as lost and you as found. Instead, start looking at other people as being pursued, and Jesus is the one who is pursuing them. What you have to understand this morning, Christians, is this. The very same God who is pursuing those people is the same one who pursued you in the deepest, darkest moments of your life. So here's what you do this week. You're on spring break, so as you're walking the mall or going wherever you're going to go, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at everyone as a VIP. I want you to look at everyone as important to God. I want you to understand that everyone has access to the God who created all of this. I want you to ask yourself, how can you help those other people understand that believing that Jesus is who he says he is the key to all of this? And there's a second group of you in here. There may be some of you sitting in here that go, you know, my life, it's really a lot more like the Samaritan woman's. Like I relate a lot more to her. And you're sitting in here, you're going, I'm not even really sure why I'm here, to be honest with you. I got dragged here. I don't want to be here. This is stupid. I feel judged. I feel hated. I don't like it when I'm here. You're sitting here and you're going, I've made way too many mistakes. People have said way too many hurtful things. Your reputation is too messed up for God to love you. You're sitting here and you're thinking those things. I want you to understand that Jesus, the Son of the living God, he stopped and he talked to somebody just like you. In this one conversation with this outcast, messed up woman, Jesus showed us all that the hope and the help we need can be found in him. That the living water that we need to fill the holes, to fill the hurt, to change us from the inside out, can be found in him. If you're sitting in here and you're like, man, I'm more like this Samaritan woman, I want you to know some things. You're pursued. You're being pursued by the God of the universe. You're loved. You're loved. Hear me. You're loved. You are not your reputation. Let me say that again. You are not your reputation. You are not all the things that people say about you at school. You are not all the whispers that happen when you walk by. You are not all the pointing and laughing that the girls or the boys do at school. You're not those things. You are not your past. You are a VIP. And all God is looking for is for you to worship in the spirit and in truth. For you to believe at the very core of who you are that this is true because Jesus is the real deal and the one who makes all of this possible. That's all he's asking. That's what he wants. So here is what I want you to do this week. If you're sitting in that second group of people, I want you to do this week. I want you to consider that in spite of who you are or what you've done or what other people are saying about you, I want you to consider that you are a VIP. That you are important to God and that you're loved by him. See, in one conversation with one woman at noon at this well, Jesus showed us that he is for everyone. Jesus removed the rope and made the way for us all to experience the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. our role in all of this, junior hires, is to believe. To worship in the spirit and in truth. To believe that this is true. To believe that Jesus is the one. So here's my question to you. Here's what I want to leave you with and I want you to think about. Do you believe, hear me, do you believe that Jesus gives us all the opportunity to be VIPs? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love. God, thank you for doing things like this. When you came down and you walked with us, you chose to stop and talk with unlikely people. You chose to stop and to spend time with people who everybody else hated and rejected and gossiped about and hurt. And through conversations like that, you showed us that you love us. In spite of our mistakes, in spite of our past, in spite of our reputation, you still love us. You still want us and you're still pursuing us. God, I pray that for those of us in here that maybe have had a VIP attitude, that we would just stop, that those things would change, that we would look out and understand that everybody is a VIP, that everybody's important to you, that you care for them, that you love them, that you want them close. And Lord, I pray for those in here that maybe relate more with the Samaritan woman in the story. God, I pray that they would understand that they are loved and they're pursued by you. That even though you know every mistake they've made, you know the mistakes they're currently making, you know the mistakes that they were planning to go and make when they leave this place today, but you still love them. You still want them close. You still want a relationship with them. God, I pray that you would help them to understand that they are important to you. And that all you ask is for us to believe that you are who you say you are. But we love you. We thank you for your love. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.